Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the roundtables, mothers and daughters sitting, having a chat about mother and daughter issues, and we're talking to mothers and daughters around the world. It's a good thing, I'm telling you, when you look at the mother and daughter relationship, and you really stop and think about it, it's such a good thing from God, a blessing from God. And those blessings from God flows through that mother and daughter. They set the standard for the family. It's a great responsibility. It's nothing to play with. It's such a great blessing that I think a lot of people just look at it as ordinary. It's just my mother or it's just my daughter. And they take it from there, not looking at the supernaturalness about the relationship. Just that God even sat and thought of how to bring humans into the world. He could have chosen Adam if he wanted to. We're just so used to women having children, that babies, that we just assume that's the way it had to be or there was no other way. But, you know, you can never, ever outthink God. He's going to be unique and different in his way. So, he selected the female. What an honor. What an honor to be able to serve God in such a capacity. I want you to think about that. So I'm going to say welcome again. I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm sitting here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. I'm also going to go to the switchboard and find my co-host so we can all say good morning. Co-host this morning is Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler. Let's see, you go right here. I think I got Deborah last week first. Good morning, Cynthia Oliver. Good morning. Oh, this is Deborah. I'm sorry. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Praise the Lord. All is well. Good morning, audience.
All right. And I can hear you. And I'm thinking, because I'm looking at the numbers, you know, you got so many numbers, I got to get my focus on which numbers which. And, anyway. I was going through the numbers here trying to make sure I got whichever one. But anyway, good morning to you and welcome to the show today.
Thank
you. One second. Let's see. Let's bring Cynthia on. Good morning, Cynthia.
Well, good morning, ladies, and good morning, audience. How are you guys today on this
day that we have chosen to be glad in it. How are you guys doing today?
Well, all righty then. I've chosen to be glad in it. It's a good day. I thank God for it.
Absolutely.
He could have just have called me back, and which would have been even greater, I'm sure, because, you know, you just never know what Jesus had prepared for us. It's going to be a surprise. So
absolutely.
So anyway, want to just tell the audience I'm back in my place, and out of Cynthia and Al's place. And we had a beautiful, week and a half or so at the prison and training and meetings and all kind of stuff that was going on in the last week. But I tell you, it's nothing like coming home and getting in your own bed. When I got home, I'd be able to say hello, and I was saying, I'm back. So it is absolutely wonderful to be home and just sit. You know, I'm the type of person that I could be around people for a while, and then every once in a while I have to just come to my little spot and be by myself. I tell people that's that only child syndrome, and a lot of people say, no, not necessarily, Dr. Fletcher. You know, I have four or five brothers and sisters, but I always like to be in my own little corner. I didn't like to be with the crowd. So, you know, for all those who like to go out and come back in your own little corner, that's how I think that's how I reconnect and get my energy ready to go on back out again. So, Deborah, how was your week?
Absolutely busy. Absolutely busy. And before I know it was Friday, I said, Lord, I thank you. When I wake up, it be so, like, cloudy. Like, what the day was? The day Saturday? Do I go to church or work? Or do I go to the meeting? What the day? It's Tuesday? You know, and then it comes to me. It's work, you know. So it went by fast, and I'm excited about it because, you know, I got a lot going on this month, and we'll talk about it later. After we, you know, get to
But you know what, Deborah? I was doing the same thing this week. I mean, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, what's the day now? I knew, and then it would come in, it's Friday. But I couldn't, all week long, I was trying to think, is it Thursday? But yesterday seemed like Thursday to me. And so I had dinner at my daughter and her husband's house last night. And the whole time, and she did a fish fry. And, you know, normally fish fries equate to Friday. You know, most people just try to do them on Friday. And that's what brought me back. I said, yeah, it's Friday. But all week I was into that too. So I'm glad to know maybe it wasn't us. Maybe it was something in the atmosphere. Because I really had to just work with what day I'm in. What am I doing? You know, when you get so much going, you can just, the mind just get, you know, the intra-conversations, the subconscious and the conscious and the unconscious just get scrambled sometimes. So how was your week?
Absolutely.
Cynthia?
The same. I woke up this morning. I said, Al, is it Saturday? Do I get on the radio show today?
Oh,
like, girl, yeah. I'm like, well, okay, then. I'm up. I'm like, it was 9:45. I was like, I need to get on up. So, yeah, I've had that kind of week as well.
Okay.
I was questioning yesterday, was it Thursday? And I was like, no, it's Friday. I said, okay. I'm going to get together.
Are we really on the phone right now on Saturday morning? Can we all agree to that?
I think we are.
Okay. All right, then. I thought Deborah was saying something. I think we are. We repent ourselves. We are on, and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All righty, ladies, I'm going to go and look at what the Holy Spirit is telling me this morning, and then we're going to come back and pick you all up in a few minutes.
All right, sounds good.
All righty. Audience, don't be afraid now. And they say, well, I don't know. Y'all sounding like y'all don't have it together this morning now. Everybody on cue, y'all going to do as the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about it. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit takes over. We don't have to worry about it. And that's a lot that keeps me going because, you know, I just turn it over to the Holy Spirit and I get up on Saturday morning and says, you know, Holy Ghost, you just take over. And for those who don't know, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is one. It's like a nickname. Holy Spirit is the nickname. But anyway, we'll get into that. But I just get up and say, you know what? I release myself to you today, Holy Spirit, and you just take over. And that gives me the comfort I need to not panic, because if you don't have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you, you can panic and make wrong decisions. So I just thank God that he was so gracious, not only to send us a Savior, someone who could save us, make sure that we were prepared to return home. But when he said, okay, Jesus, I need you to come back, but now I'm going to send someone, and he sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came in to walk with us. Jesus was the seen aspect of the Holy Ghost. And then there's the unseen, which is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. You don't see it, you just feel it. With Jesus, you could see him, and he wanted you to feel him. But they were so busy seeing him that they really couldn't. It took them a long time to try to get what he was saying because they was looking at him. And so you see how creative God is? He said, okay, now I had Jesus there, and Jesus, and they was walking with him. They're looking at him. They could touch him. They're eating with him. They're laughing. And poor John laying his head on him, and everybody's just trying to get their position. You know, I'm his best buddy. He loves me more than he loves you. And then when Mary Magdalene come in, that was a part of our discussion in class this week. Mary Magdalene came in, and then, you know, Peter got jealous, and they was like, well, who is this one? Well, they, most people don't know. Jesus made her an apostle, along with a host of other women. That's another show. But, you know, there were so many people just looking at him, just being in his presence, and just they could hear him, and they could feel it, but they were looking at him. And he said, I'll have to go away in order for you all to get it. So that's how this thing kind of, and God said, okay, they're looking at him as a man, and they're not really getting to the depths of who he really is. So when I bring him back, that's why when he was gone, it took them a while to just try to figure out, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What do we do? And they're just sitting around. And they said, well, you know, he told us to just wait. To wait, some, you know, God was going to send someone. Just wait until the Holy Ghost came. And then they could feel him. They could feel. So just because you don't see it, doesn't mean that he's not there. God is a spirit. He wants you to feel it. So I released myself to the Holy Ghost and said, okay, you have your way. And that's what you get on Saturday mornings. A lot of it is lessons that I've learned, experiences that I've had during the week, and he allowed me to share those. And then he takes off and tell you what he wants to tell you. And it's a beautiful thing. So I don't get nervous. I don't get uptight. I don't run around rushing on Saturday morning. I just, you know, I got up late this morning too. Woke up early and started listening to a sermon. And put me right on back to sleep. I should have known better because I knew it was going to put me to sleep. It always does when I'm laying in the bed. But I got up. Said, man, I'm not going to panic. Holy Spirit, you're going to tell me what you want me to say. Just thought I'd share that with you. You're getting confused and you don't know what to do, always call on the Holy Spirit. All right. Good morning. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie, and I'm here at the Roundtable with Mothers and Daughters Around the World. Our stimulating topic this morning is, what's the common denominator between a mother and her daughter? What's the common denominator between a mother and her daughter? You might say, well, Dr. Bessie, common denominator, that took me straight to math. You're going with the old familiar. That's why I told you the story in the beginning. That's why Jesus was removed as a part of saving up. Don't get past me now. I don't want to say, I don't want to get the impression he was here for a common denominator. Jesus was here to save the people, not the world. And once he did his job and done what God had asked him to do, then he returned. But the unseen is the thing that really you have to put your faith in it. And that's why God said, faith is the only thing that moves me. So you got to believe that you feel it, that you can get into that emotions of the spirit. So when we're talking this morning about common denominator, I want you to think beyond math. Because if I told you we were doing fractions this morning, most people would hang up and say, you know what, this show is not for me because, look, I don't have time for this. I had a hard week, especially people who have accountants and bookkeepers, or you're looking at your checkbook and it's looking funny and, you know, you're trying to figure out where your money coming from. You don't want to talk about no numbers this morning. That's better. I don't want to hear about no numbers this morning because when I look at my bank account, that ain't making me feel good unless you're going to send me a check, you know, other than that. Well, don't get excited. I'm not talking about numbers in that way. We're not talking about math in that way. And some of you probably might say, what is a common denominator? That's okay, too. So the Holy Spirit is going to break it down so that you'll get it, and I'll get it. Last week our topic was, it's not me, it's my mother. That was really good. Go to the website, mdbn.org. mdbn.org, and go to the tab that says Blog Talk Radio. Listen to last week's show. All right, back to our topic today. Our topic, the stimulating topic, is what's the common denominator between a mother and her daughter? Now, as I usually do on Saturday mornings, you know, I'm asking the Holy Spirit. And, you know, this morning I had to even apologize to the Holy Spirit. I said, you know what, Holy Spirit, I am so sorry. I did not mean to put you in a crowded spot or, you know, because I got up late, because I mess around and it's look up and it's about 8:45 and I got to be on at 10. So now I'm going to rush up and say, okay, now like I said, well, Holy Ghost, you know, what do you want to talk about? Well, then I just have to relax because I'm not going to put pressure. You know, it's like you woke up late. You should have got up at 8 when you were supposed to. But I'm sure that's not the Holy Spirit. That's just me, you know, that's that my thinking. But I'm just trying to break it down so you can get it. He's like, no, I'm going to do like I normally do at my own pace. And so I got the topic about 9:45. I went on to fix my coffee, did what I need to do, and came back. We gave it to him. I sat down. I had everything ready on the switchboard. All I had to do is get my topic and plug it in and do the things I need to do. But I can't do nothing without a topic. So that always holds me up to that. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was me running late, doing what I do. So when we look at common denominator, a common denominator are denominators. You know, they are two numbers that have something in common. And having common denominators make things like comparing, adding, subtracting, and fractions, it makes it easier. So what we want to talk about today is the common denominator between a mother and her daughter. So when we think of it, you can think of it as a reference point as how it's done in math. But unless you're a mathematician, I'm sure you'd rather not deal with it. So that's why I say just relax, sit back, don't worry about whether you know it or not. Just listen and see how these things come together. Because, you know, everything And life really evolves around numbers. Everything is evolved around numbers. And so we're going to talk about that common denominator. We're going to look at comparing mothers and daughters and what they need to add to their relationship and what they need to take away from their relationship. Now, the one thing, a common denominator for two or more fractions is to list the multiples of each denominator until you find the smallest multiple that they have in common. So I say that again. The one way to find a common denominator for two or more fractions is to list the multiples of each denominator until you find the smallest multiple they have in common. So when Holy Spirit gave me that this morning, I was like, wow, you're fixing me. Well, now I got to go back. I haven't talked about fractions and common denominators in years. I'm talking about some years. I mean, think about them. Don't even think about them, you know. Not trying to take trigonology. I'm not trying to take any calculus or anything like that right now. In my life, I just feel like I have surpassed all that. I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and basically I think about the subconscious, unconscious, and the conscious mind and the intra-conversations, which actually stirs up those minds. That's my focus. And then how do you use the Word of God to organize and manage the mind through the intra-conversation? That's who I am. So when it comes to math, and the Holy Spirit threw that on me this morning, I was like, okay, all right, let's see. I release myself to you. So let's look at the common denominator. You have two numbers. A fraction is a number on top and a number on bottom with a line in the middle. So let's just say we got the mother and the daughter on top of each line. And then under that line, we have Jesus. Jesus is the common denominator. Because no matter what happens between the mother and daughter relationship and what's the connection between them, it's always going to be around their common denominator, which is Jesus. Because you can't get to God. I could have said God being the common denominator, but then we would have left out Jesus. And you can't get to God without going through Jesus. And you can't get the Holy Spirit unless you go through Jesus. So Jesus is the common denominator. Now, no matter what they do, let's just say mother and daughter up above the line, and they're interacting, and they have a conflicting relationship. They can't agree. They're always arguing about something. But there's that something that keeps them connected. It's that something that will never, ever, ever break and disconnect them. I don't care if they don't see each other for 40 or 50 years. There's that something that keeps them connected. And that something comes from their common denominator. They have one thing in common. And mothers, you can say what you want. Oh, it's my daughter. She's this. And that girl gets on my nerves, and I just don't understand it. You know, she drives me crazy. Well, you know, and the daughter's my mother. She just get on my nerves, and, you know, she don't understand me. She's from the old school.
and people don't do it the way they used to do it back then. You know, this is the new 20th century, and this is the way we do it here. She wants me to live back in those days when she was there, but nobody's doing stuff like that. So, you know, now they feel that they have nothing in common, especially the daughter. She's looking at her mother like, you know, we have nothing in common. You're not hip. You don't wear the clothes that people are wearing. You don't act the way my friend's mother acts. You know, you just act old-fashioned. You stay in the church all the time. You know, we have nothing in common. And when you talk to me, you talk to me about some old stuff from the Bible. We have nothing in common because, see, I'm hip. I know how to send out a message in code. I text, you know, Instagram. I do this, and I'm Facebook, and I'm on it. And you don't know anything, so we don't have anything in common. Can you see your daughter thinking like that? We don't have anything in common. But you do. And she knows it. She's saying one thing with her mouth. But in her heart, she knows that she's connected to you. If something happens to her, and she's out there and had an accident, the first thing she's going to say, call my mother. Why? If you don't have anything in common, if you think that she don't know anything, she's old-fashioned, why would that be the first person you call? Why would you call somebody that's a dummy, don't know nothing? Because in her heart and soul, she knows better. She knows she's connected. She knows that's her mother. She knows that her mother's going to be there when everybody else turned their back on her. But see, her mouth is saying something that is not in her heart. And that's what I like about God. God does not hold things against you that comes out of your mouth, because he know you just run in your mouth, and life and death is in the tongue, and he understands that. But if it ever gets into your heart, you're held accountable. He judge you according to your heart. So if you got hate and you run in your mouth just talking about something and talking about something, but in your heart you know you really don't mean it, and we've all done that, said things that really in your heart it's just far away from what's in your heart. And that's why I say, God, I thank you for judging me by my heart. Because in my heart, there's no one I dislike or hate or anything like that. And I've learned over the years to not say things with my mouth. And I thank God for that. So my mouth has aligned itself with my heart. Still working on it. It's never going to be perfect. But I learned not to say just anything that I just want to say. Keep your mouth closed, because if it's not good, you don't need to put it out there in the atmosphere. You don't need to give the enemy any power. And he feeds off of negativity. He wants you to be negative. He wants you to spew those words out of your mouth, because he's going to jump on them and ride them like a magic carpet. And he's going to float through the atmosphere, because he's waiting on a shot from you, from your mouth. Give him the gas he needs to go to and fro. Because if you don't give it to him, he's going to have to sit. He's going to get tired. And when he gets tired, he's going to start making things up. So then he talks to the daughter and tells her, she's just your mother, you know, she's like your brother better. You know, she don't understand you. So you need to do this, because she doesn't know. So yeah, the young girl, she doesn't know any better. She's thinking these things. She's not knowing that the enemy's talking to her, because what? Mother never told her that there are two voices going on, and you need to be able to hear the voice of God. If you don't introduce your daughter to God through Jesus Christ, then she won't know until maybe she's grown and the Lord sends someone across her path. And mother, maybe you don't know. So I advise you to go seek and find for yourself who Jesus is, what's his role and his purpose here on earth. He came to teach us. He came to show us and to prepare us. But he certainly didn't come to divide, to subtract. He didn't come to do that. He came to add and to multiply. So when we're talking about fractions, you know, which end are you on? I'd rather be on the end that adds to my life and take that I've gotten and multiply it 7 times, 100-fold. The enemy comes, he's going to subtract something, and he's going to divide something. He does not want to add to you. He wants to subtract from you because he knows that you are already perfectly made. So he can't add anything to you. And in essence, he really can't take anything away from you unless you allow him to. And that's why he's talking. And that's why he's dividing the relationship between the mother and daughter, because he knows if he can divide the relationship between the mother and daughter, then it's going to weaken the family. And it's certainly going to weaken the next generation, because the daughter will not have what she needs to keep the faith that she needs to get God to move on her behalf. So that's why I say when the common denominator in the mother and daughter relationship shows up, that common denominator is Jesus. And how does that work with that mother and daughter? What's the connector between the two of them? The connector is love. See, Jesus is pure love. And that's the love that we all have in us. No matter how our bodies act and respond in a behavior, you still have a certain measure of love in you. You were born that way. And some people, you might say, well, I don't know. I know some people, they just as hateful as they can be. Dr. Bessie, nobody can stand to be around them. Those are the people that you see. But everybody got someone that they love. It could be the hatefulest person in the world, but they got someone that they love. Someone, they got a friend, or they got a secret love in their heart. Everybody loves somebody. So everybody has love. It just depends on who you want to share your love with. But the love between a mother and her daughter, that's an unbreakable bond. There's no way that bond is going to be broken. So that's their common denominator. And if they can just actually realize that, the way they treat each other will change. Because that's one of the main commandments that Jesus said you must do. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. And mothers and daughters, you are our neighbors. Neighbors are those people that are in close proximity to you. You're in each other's space. You're my neighbor. Anyone you talk on the phone with, that's your neighbor at that moment. And you're supposed to love them as you love yourself. But we sometimes show more love to a stranger, a friend, a boss, than you do your own family. But are you really showing true love? Are you showing an imitation of love, hoping to gain something? And sometimes that happens in mother and daughter relationships. We do things buy things, take them places, because we want to do what? We want to get that love. But that's not real love. It's invitation love. And I'm not saying don't buy your mother and daughter things, because I'd buy my daughter things and she'd buy me things all the time. It's from your heart, what's your intent? If your intent just to get something, then that's all you're going to get from it, just that. It won't be everlasting. It won't last beyond just that that you intended to do. But if you give love from your heart, and it doesn't have to be material things, it's going to last. Because those are the things you're going to remember. And just think about it. When you're on your sick bed and you can't get up and run around and do what you need to do, God forbid. But let's use that as an example. What memories will you have in your head when nobody's there that you can bring a smile to your face? Just thinking about it makes you happy. Those are the loving moments that no one can take away from you, because they're in your subconscious mind. And whatever's in your subconscious mind is yours forever. And you'll be able to pull those things up. And you'll be able to look at it and smile. I remember a girlfriend of mine who's not here now. Her grandmother was laying in the hospital. And she went to see her grandmother. And she said, "Ma," she said, you look so happy." And she said, "Well, I am." And she said, "Did you want me to bring you some books or something, Reed?" She said, No. I don't need any books." She said, "I go back in the archives of my mind, the archives, and I just pull up a memory. And I think about when I was in France. And I think about when I was on the cruise with all my children. And I think about the times when we just cook and eat. I think about the times when we went to the festivals in Trinidad. I think about these things, and I live again through those thoughts." And she told her, she said, "Whatever you do, travel, go places, do things. So when you get older, you'll still live and you'll have a youthfulness from the inside out. Now you're living it from the outside, inward. But as you get older, you'll be able to live it from the inside out." And I'm telling you, that made a mark on me. And I increased my travel. I've been places and done things that I can just sit back now and go back through and smile. The people that you've met, the fun that you had, the food that you ate, you know, build an archive of memories from love. And it'll take you as you journey. And it wasn't a couple days later, she took her transition, and she took her transition in peace with love in her heart and on her mind. So the common denomination, a common denominator between a mother and a daughter is love. I'm going to go to the switchboard. Good morning, Cynthia.
Morning, Dr. B. How are you?
I'm good.
This is a very interesting dynamics and the way that you use the common denominator. And you know, when you do it from a mathematical perspective, it's about finding the smallest, because there's so many other numbers. That you have to deal with before. That's why people have problems dealing with fractions. There's so many other numbers that's before. You have the highest, and then you have to work it all the way down to the lowest. And as you were talking about the lowest, we had to we had to go through a couple of them. And the thing you said that Jesus adds, if we were looking at numbers, we would be adding, because he is, the love of Jesus is the common denominator, and the love that we're born with is another one. Then the interconversation comes in there as a common denominator, because we both have our common denominators. So we both have those interconversations. And so those are the ones that that you have to just subtract if you're going to look at it from a mathematical perspective, if we're going to get to the love, because those interconversations are interesting, and they can cause us to not feel the love, if you will. You were talking about feelings earlier. And so when we have those interconversations, we can't get past those numbers, those two, to get to the love that we were born with and the love of Jesus, because those other two things are in the way. The love of Jesus is in all of us. We just have to tap into it by accepting him if we're going to be able to break it down to the lowest, which is the love of Jesus in, that we all have. So I thought that was a very interesting dynamic and a way of bringing math into the discussion. Finding those common denominators that we all have, and then break it down to the Lord's, which is the love of Jesus. It was pointed. So that's really all I have to say. We have to get rid of the ones that don't match, don't work, and then we have to get to the love of Jesus. And you can't get to the love of Jesus unless you accept him. And so we'll always have those interconversations. We'll always have love within us, but if we don't get rid of the other two, if we don't get rid of the interconversations, then it sometimes can stop us from getting to the love of Jesus. And so, mothers, I'm telling you, if you do not accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and because God said raise a child in the way that she should go, and if you have not raised her with that perspective of Jesus, then there you go. That's what's separating you from your daughter. And so no matter what the situation has been, whether you were there, weren't there, your daughter still loves you. Your mother still loves you, daughter. If you left 10 years ago and never been back, how do I know this to be a fact? My mother didn't raise me, but when I went back 48 years later, she had a stuffed animal on the bed with my name on it. So it has all, she has always been adding to the love that she had for me from the day she gave birth to me. And so I know what I'm talking about when it comes to this subject matter, because I am one that had a whole lot of intra conversation about my mother and who she wasn't and who she was. And in the end, when I accepted Jesus and started and wise counsel from Dr. Fletcher of going and getting those answers, I found the love that I always had for my mother, but I had to get rid of those intra-conversations. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Okay. And let me just clarify something in what you're saying for the audience, because the audience always know that I say you can never get rid of your intra-conversations, because that's the one way you communicate with God. But I know what you mean. We have to manage those conversations. You don't have to add positive words to those conversations when they are negative,
absolutely.
And in order to get where you need to go. So audience,
absolutely.
People be running around thinking they can stop it. You can't stop the interconversation. You got to learn how to manage them. You got to learn how to change those words and get what you need to get. And that's through the word of God, and stop so many of your words, put the word of God in your interconversations, and you're going to find that love. That was beautiful.
Absolutely. That's the, absolutely, absolutely. It is definitely about changing the words that come out of your mouth. If you want to love your mother, start telling yourself that you love her. Because I'm telling you, the enemy has attempted to tell me to hurt my oldest son for years. Because for years, and every time he, because you know he's a liar. Every time he comes at me with that craziness, I know I love my son, and I'll call my son or I'll text him in that moment. I love you, son. He don't even know what that's all about, But I know what it's all about because I have to, whenever we're having a disagreement, that's the first thing he tries to put in my mind, that he's being disrespectful. And, you know, because we all have a dark side. And when a mother thinks a child is being disrespectful to her, she wants to put her hands on him. And so, and he knows that. And so he probably just think I'm like missing him or something when all that stuff is going on. But every time he comes at me with that craziness, I turn it around and I text my son and I just say, I love you, son. And so that right there, keep that common denominator of love between me and my son, because I know for a fact that my son loves me. So, you know, and so, and he tries to tell me that my son don't feel the same way about me as I feel about him. And if it's something that's contrary to the word of God, you know, it's the enemy. I know it's the enemy. And so I quickly turn it around, putting those positive words, as you said, Dr. Fletcher, because a negative and a negative makes a negative. A negative and a positive makes a positive. So I just keep putting those positive, I love you, even when he don't even know what it's about. It's a spiritual battle at that moment for me, and I'm texting him to keep the love of Jesus for my son that he has for us. And so
Amen.
I'm good.
Yeah, that's a prime example
right
there.
I know the tricks of the enemy. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's why he said, read to
Thank
make thyself worthy.
Share.
Because read to make thyself worthy, because if you don't know, the enemy will dance all over your head. Let me get that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is really, really interesting that when you don't know, and because you don't know, it's because you haven't read the word and you don't know what God says about the thing. And so, mothers, you have to know the word in order to put it on it. Thank you for allowing me to share, Dr. B.
All right. Good morning, Deborah. What is your take on that, Deborah? Cynthia, you're going
good
to be
morning,
live.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I tell you, I'm sitting there saying, after Cynthia broke it down, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm about dizzy now because I was thinking of the number. I love math. I love
Thank
numbers.
You,
and then when you started, and I'm saying, okay, you know, I really got to pay attention this morning. I can't be moving around. You know, I really got to be paying attention 100%. Like, just trying to get dressed. And, you know, I had to just sit down because it was so detailed the way that y'all presented it. And I said, you know, I ain't never got nothing to say. It ain't me. And I say that every week. And I believe I don't have nothing to say until God started dealing with me. But I got up and I started writing some notes. And I tell you, I just went to Apostle Paul, and he was talking about a common interest. And so in the fraction, you got a numerator, denominator. The numerator is always part of the whole. And so you got the mother and the daughter. They got to be both part of the whole, like you said, Dr. Dustin. The denominator is Christ, is the love of God, is all those things. And so the way that you work it out is you as a numerator, you got to work together to get to the denominator. So one got to add up to the other one to come to whole. So the mama might be 70%, the daughter might be 30%, but it's going to give them 100% in Christ. And so they got to believe that whatever it is that they need to do, they got to find a common way to find that level. Apostle Paul said, I became what we were. In other words, I came on a common ground. I became a numerator to be part of the whole to him, to Jesus. He said, that's what I've been weak and they didn't eat meat, or I didn't eat meat because I want to have a common interest to get in there. And so I believe that the mother and the daughter got to find a common interest to make that thing work, to find a love of Christ. You got to be able to sit down and talk with one another, to listen to one another, to allow Christ to move in one another. You know, like what the daughter might like is, she might like the movies. The mom is too tired to go to the movies. But the mom might like bingo. The daughter think the bingo is boring. Just an example. But you got to find a common to get in there, to have conversation, to have relation, to find the love of Christ. But there's no common entry. Paul said, I couldn't get in. He said, so I became what they were to reach them. And not only to reach them, but the main objective was to bring them to Christ, the denominator. So I believe, you know, like you say, kids got something to talk about. Either you're going to give them the ill, or somebody else is going to give them the ill. And so there you go. I want to be able to listen. Come on that level. to listen to the conversations that they have, their concerns, their desire, their ambition, their dreams, their fears, their doubts, their insecurities, you know, and being able to give them that time. It's okay, every Thursday, it's mom and daughter or mom and son, whatever, it's your time. You got, we got an hour, we got 2 hours, whatever you want to do. You got to make it work because the world is not so nice out there, and they will teach us some things that will cause us to put a whole lot of other negativity in the mind that separates. So I believe that the numerator is the part of the whole. So you got to be able to function together to get to the whole. So I believe that we should, you know, have that time to have relations, to get to know. Like you said, everybody buy gifts, and you helped me out a whole lot. Back in the, you know, in a few months, you know, back when you said stop buying stuff, you know, and so now, like when I had those thoughts like Cynthia, I just send that text. She don't love me. She ain't talking. I ain't bought nothing in 6 months. You know, if the devil is a liar, text, Mom, I love you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How's your day? You know, and like you say, those thoughts will come. You will start feeling like that, you know, and it ain't even about me. It's about she's not been working. You don't even know what's going on. She called all me. You know, and so I know that those thoughts come, and I just have to, you know, devil's a liar. He tried Jesus. He said, for it is written with the word. And Jesus had to use the word. We got to use the word even more so, you know. And so like everybody pretty much summed it up. You know, you got to make time. You got to have that relationship. And you got to trust in the Lord and lean on him and raise up a child the way the child should be. A child go left or right, that ain't on you because you raise them up. They'll come back. They'll come back. And also, the Bible talks about, don't provoke your child. Don't provoke your child to evil. Don't provoke them. So God had a balance. Kids, obey your parents. Honor your mother, your father, your days may be long. And we know the opposite is true. That's me right there. Mm-hmm. And then also, fathers don't provoke. Don't provoke. So he's saying, kids, your thing is to obey and respect. And parents, your thing is not to provoke. So you got to find that common in the middle and make it work. And make sure the denominator is Jesus. You know? So God gave everybody instructions on how far to go. So, okay, we respect them. Don't get out of line. And you honor them. Your days, I let you live a long time. And if you don't, what the opposite is? You know? That's what the word says. And so I just say, Lord, I thank you that you allowed me to come to my senses, because I ain't never disrespected with my mouth, but maybe with my behavior behind her back. But I thank God that he had mercy on me, that he spared my life, that he gave me another opportunity to be able to be that child, even being 50 years old, still being the child. And yes, ma'am. And when she come out here, I had surgery, she come in my house, she said, you stay in that bed. I said, Jesus, I kind of liked it that. She was making me juice. And she was making me juice, come in my house, and my sister and they came and brought me roses. Never in my life got no roses, flowers in my whole life. They had already sucked me over right there. She sent them to me 2 days before she surprised me, popped up, came in, and I said, well, let me show you how to make my famous juice. She said, you stay in that bed. And I said, well, God, I ain't heard that since I was 9. Did I get out the bed? No, I didn't get out the bed. I wanted that. I felt like a child at 50 years old. I said, well, okay, mama, okay. Well, okay. Uh-huh. Well, okay, you know? And so I tell you, I just say, Lord, I thank you because she did raise me the way to go, and I went and I came back. Might have been all 10 years later. But, yeah, the common interest, you know, got to find a way to get in. You got to come on their level, not to the point where you are not being Christ-like, not to the point where you just going against all the grain. To win them over, no, but you gotta know what's the boundaries. So find a common boundary, and relate and get that time and build that relationship and put Jesus as the denominator, and all should go well. Won't be peaches and cream, won't be every day that everything gonna be beautiful, but with Jesus you can manage, you can press your way on, see what the end gonna be.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Damn, well, that wrapped that up. Wow. You know, I don't want to say I'm amazed because I know the Holy Ghost and I know what he can and will do. And I put my faith in that every Saturday morning. And I always tell him, I said, you make me sound so good. You make me sound like I know something. You know what I mean? I come across with these things. But this morning, he took me way beyond because, like I said, I haven't dealt with fractions in I don't know when. And he brought that out. But then he pulled us all out of our comfort zone this morning. I picked that up from all two of you. excuse me. You know, Cynthia had to think and pull up, and she had to come back with something that says, you know, well, let me see what I know about fractions. And then you said, okay, well, now, well, wait a minute, I can't get dressed. I've got to sit down and listen. But see, we don't know I don't know what's going on in you all's space. But see, the Holy Spirit knows. And he knows when he needs to bring us all together and then put us on one. That was one thought, but from three different perspectives, and I learned something from both of you. And I'm sure the audience picked up, and the ones that were not on now, that when they do hear it, it's going to give them something to talk about, something to think on, because the Holy Spirit came from three different perspectives to show the angles in which a mother and daughter relationship have one common denominator, which is Jesus. And the thing that I like about it, too, is because I come from a mother and daughter perspective, because that's all I know. I have one daughter. And then Cynthia comes from the mother-son perspective. Even though she's a daughter and she has a mother and daughter relationship, she combined those two. And then here you are combining. You have no children, and you're combining your mother and daughter relationship with the childlike experience. Did y'all pick that up?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, sure did.
I was like, wow, look at the whole time y'all was talking, I was like, look at the Holy Ghost. I love it.
I didn't pick it up until you said it, but I got it.
yeah. Because see, she said, I love that when my mama said, you go back and get in that bed. You know, we want our mothers to be, we really are little girls. We really are little girls. Then I'm going to tell you this, and audience, you know, I want you all to take this and get it the right way. I was a little girl until my mother made a transition. I was, yes, ma'am. I go home. I was like a little girl. I never really felt like a lady. But the minute my mother left, it's like something I had to grow up like, whoop, like that, supernatural. I felt different. And I knew then, I don't have a mother. It was like all the things that she placed in me just sort of came together in one great swoop, and I felt something in my body just sort of like blew me up like a balloon. And all of a sudden I said, wow, I'm a grown woman now. And I was, I think, 47, 48 when my mother passed. You would have think I would have thought I was grown. And now I look back and saying that now, I'm looking back at Angie, and I'm thinking, I wonder if she's thinking that same way, because you really do feel like a little girl when your mother's there. You really do. So I understood that, Deborah, but I know that was a good feel. Get in that bed. Yes, ma'am. All right, Lord, here we are. This is good. Anybody want to say a last comment before we leave?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm good.
Oh.
I think
right.
We said it all. It blessed me. It really did bless me to be able to hear it from those perspectives. And Deborah, I just wanted to comment on the scripture that you brought in. It was awesome, because we have to become, mm-hmm. like you said, Paul and Paul, in his scripture, he said that he had to become weak in order that he can win the weak. And so we, as mothers, we got to become whatever our daughters are in order that we can win them over. And I'm not talking about going out and doing cray-cray what the daughters are doing. I'm talking about being able to see it from her perspective. And so when we are able to see things, we are able to see the commonality. And one thing I do want to say, that mothers, sometimes we forget that we have that in common, because we've been there and done that.
Right. And that's the thing that irritates yourself, because you see yourself.
All right, that's the
Absolutely.
Last word. I'll
Absolutely.
Be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, ladies, that's our show. Audience, we'll see you next week. That was a great one. I'm going to have to sit back and maybe go back and listen to that one myself. But you guys have a good weekend.
You too.
I'll talk to y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Good job. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.